December 8, 1989. Ewing Turner interviewed by Kay Briegel at her office at Cal State Long Beach.
I can sit next to
you. No, I want you to be
touching. Okay.
Tell me when you were born.
I was born in Holden, Missouri. That's about 10 miles north of, south of West Plains, Missouri. That's where Preacher Rowe, the famous baseball player, and Billy Verdon were from. He was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then we came to California in February of 1937. And we landed in Torrance. My dad worked for the State Highway Department, and things got slow, so he was terminated, so he always wanted to come to California. So the first night, we couldn't find a place to stay, so that where Harvey Aluminum's plant is, they were plowing that field there, so we carried a feather bed in our car. We brought that with us from Missouri. So my mother and dad and I put some wheat shocks down that they had up there, and we slept there the night. And we woke up in the morning, and we couldn't even find the car. It was so foggy. We didn't know what in the world to do. So finally, and we were all kind of damp, you know, from that fog, because we really slept. We were tired. And so then we found our way out after the fog lifted, and then we went right down to in the Torrance area. I can't think of the name of the hotel we got. They had rooms for rent by the day, week, or month, you know. Because in those days in California, people would take pets, but with children, it was hard to find a place to live. My folks couldn't believe it. So we stayed there for a while, and then we had a lot of relation in Washington. You know, I don't know that we just, well, we knew, I think a couple of my dad's cousins lived in that area, and they were in construction business. But my dad could get a job, but he couldn't get in the union. The unions were closed. So then we went to Washington for about 6 weeks or so, and it rained every day we were there except one. And so then we came back to California. We settled in Signal Hill.
Why Signal Hill?
I don't know. My dad just thought that there was oil there that he could get a job. So he didn't have work from February. He got a job on my birthday, June 28, 1937, with Hancock Oil Company.
And then we
found it. That was burnt. And then he worked for them for, three or four years. And then he was offered a job, which was right next door, with Signal Oil and Gas. So then he took that job. And he just worked in the refinery. Just a laborer, yes. So then when he went to work for Signal, he was right across from the old Procter & Gamble plant that was tore down. They had a lot of wells there, so he was a pumper or a gauger, took care of the wells down there.
In the harbor, huh?
They had wells on Terminal Island where the old Edison plant was that was sinking, and so that's where I learned to drive a car. It was when I was about 12 years old down all through there, because it was the traffic, there was no traffic at all there, just a lot of oil though. So he worked there until 1947. In February again, everything took place. That's when we bought Curly's Cafe. I went to Signal Hill Grammar School, Hamilton Junior High School, and Poly. And then I had when I graduated, I had a scholarship at Arizona University of Arizona for baseball, but I chose to go into professional baseball, and I went to of a camp that was put on. Mr. Rickey was there, and he impressed me very much, so I signed a contract and reported to Santa Barbara in 1947 after I got out of school.
What was it like?
Oh, we just had... In the 2000 block in Dawson, I think there was... I lived at 1987 Dawson. And we owned the next three lots there with two houses on them. But that was our playground. We made little caves, you know, kids were always digging little tunnels and stuff. And there had been some oil wells that had, or tanks and stuff that had been abandoned. So they left little caverns, you know, that we could remodel them, you know, and we just had all kinds of fun. And there was a Japanese family that grew a lot of flowers. So I walked to Signal Hill school because it was just a short way. Then when I didn't get a bicycle until the fifth or sixth grade, maybe sixth or seventh. When I went to Hamilton, then I did have a bike, but that wasn't any further than Signal Hill Grammar School.
Did you go and get a class or
anything? I was in all athletic, high Y, high teams and stuff like that, because all my friends, we played basketball and stuff for the Y on Long Beach Boulevard. But I wasn't in any fraternities in school. Oh, yes, I was in the Scouts, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was in the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts in Signal Hill. But then I got other interests. I rode horses a lot also. So,
were there horses around up there?
Well, there were some at 21st and One Apparel. There was some people that owned that years ago had horses. There were three or four places that had horses, but the people that I rode with, we kept them at Golden and Wardlow. Before Wardlow Road was through, there was an old brick factory there. And the McFeeters that are on Long Beach Boulevard own the car, used car lot and a lot of stuff. They owned a lot of property out there, so that's where the... That was called the Dorsey Riding Stable there. In fact, I happened to be riding the day, as of yesterday, December 7th, we were out, and we didn't know what in the world had taken, we didn't know how far Pearl Harbor was, you know, because Hawaii was, you know, we thought it was closer than it really was. So, we just headed for the barn. We didn't know how serious we were, and we found out really what happened when we got home. And this fellow I rode with was Bobby Mitchell, and the other kid was Cotton Rosser, who owns the Pacific Outdoor Rodeos that perform here in the Long Beach Arena and all over. He lives up in Chino. And Bobby Mitchell has a rehab for horses that have gone lame or something, and very close to where the car people were killed in Bradbury Canyon.
Oh yeah.
So he lives in that area, and his folks owned the foothill that Bonnie Price owns now, and that's how come I got acquainted with them, because he and I used to clean that up on the weekends, and his dad didn't pay us any money. But we used to find a lot of money because they had, this was just at the start of World War I, so the people would, on the weekends, would relax and they'd go down there and dance, and they always had a Western band there, so on the weekends they had dancing. So it was nothing for us to find, in those days, We'd split 10, 15, 20 bucks, you know. Find a couple of bucks here, or five or something, you know. So his dad wouldn't let the help go through with the flashlight like a lot of places do when they close a bar or a nightclub down. They go through and check to see what's left. If there was wallets or anything like that, we would give them to his dad, you know. He'd call the people up and tell them that we'd found something of theirs, you know, and he'd come down. And then he and I went off through school until we started high school, and his folks brought across from the Midway City, right across from the cemetery, and so he went to Huntington Beach High School.
So the first one was
yes, before she bought it. Mm-hmm. And then his dad owned the hillside also that the Prices bought, too. They bought it from the two brothers, Bob and Ernie. Uh-huh. And his dad and my dad were the same age, and they both, my dad died about 8 years ago. And his dad died about 6 or 7 years ago. And my mother died then, and she had heart trouble, and she died in 1968, January. And I was the only child, so we done a lot of things as a family, you know. Even though they worked hard, we took vacations and had a lot of good times. So. Well, when I was playing baseball in the winters, I wouldn't have a job, so I worked in the oil fields for Sayers and Ledbetter. They built bolted tanks for the oil fields, and then they also, up in the San Joaquin Valley, they built grain or water tanks for the farmers also. So we'd travel up there, so I would work from normally 1st of October to the 1st of February. And then when I became 21, then I worked with my folks and then became a partner in Curly's Cafe.
So you didn't have any other jobs when you were growing up?
Oh, I had a paper route when I was going to Hamilton Junior High School. That was my very first job. I had the Sun paper, which was the morning part of the Press Telegram. I delivered that in, well, there's no houses above 20th Street, so I went from there south, from Cherry to Juan Aparo, down to about 15th Street, two blocks below Pacific Coast Highway, and that was my square. And the reason I took the morning route is because I didn't want to have the afternoon paper, because I was always playing sports in junior high school even, and I didn't want to be out of collecting the money for the paper. The people that delivered in the mornings, the Press Telegram collected them. They had collections. So that's why I chose the morning. Then, the only other job I had while I was in school, when I was at Pauley, I worked at Cherry and Pacific Coast Highway. There was an old Richfield station. That's where they pick up the cans now, the recycling. And then the first car wash in Long Beach was also built there. But I worked for they were old Long Beach people. I mean, the whole family lived here, and they were in business. I can't think of the name of them. But one of the brothers was in politics. I don't know, as a mayor or councilman or assemblyman or something like that for the Long Beach area. But his brother owned the service station that I worked at. I worked there for about a year, and that's when I had a motor scooter. I had a motor scooter. I graduated from the bicycle, and then I had a motor scooter. And then when I turned 16, I turned the motor scooter in to a Model A, a 1929 Model A. Oh, cost a big sum. I think it was $175. I sold the motor scooter for $100 because they were popular in the Long Beach area. Now you're starting to see more. Well, they don't call them motor scooters much anymore. They call them, they've got other names for them. But during high school, I never had a job. The only thing I would do was around the house. If we needed anything done, the house painted or the fence, and that was my job. So I'd recruit some of my friends, and we'd have them paint the fence or the outside of the house. I wouldn't let them paint inside because we'd always get into a paint fight, seems like. It always felt peaceful, but it'd be warm, and we'd be in bare-chested. We looked like Indians after the paint party. And to get that stuff off of us is terrible. Rocky Bridges was one that used to come over. I don't know if you know him. I think baseball player. Huh? He and I were very good friends. We played on the Poly varsity team together. And then we both signed with the Dodgers, and we both went to Santa Barbara together.
What was it like in Santa Barbara?
Well, Santa Barbara was, you know, in those days, it was a resort like it is now. But it really wasn't, there wasn't anything to do there. And their beaches weren't like ours here, because we used to have fantastic breakers from Fifth Place all the way down to the Belmont Shore Pier. That's where we used to swim. But Santa Barbara was just a laid-back, lazy little town. It was very quaint and everything, but it wasn't, no. And then they had the old college with right above the baseball field at Santa Barbara. So the Cathcarts, one of them's an official in the NFL, they were from Long Beach Poly. They were ahead of us, but the two brothers played football at Santa Barbara, and then they were ushers. That was part of their scholarship. They ushered at the baseball field at night, you know. So it was a great learning experience for growing up. I tell you, it was just I was always the youngest fellow on the team, and it seems like somebody always took me under their wing, my learning experience was invaluable. I tell you, I just had so much fun. But then I was drafted. I signed in 47, and I played through 50. Then 51 and 52, I was in the Korean War. So I came out, and I played 53. I was the highest I got with Mobile, which is AA, in the Southern Association, Mobile, Alabama. And I went back there in 53. And then in 54, they sent me to Pueblo, Colorado, and we had one child, one daughter, and then my wife was pregnant with the other one, and I said, I've had it. So I'm going to go back to Signal Hill and be a bartender or something. So I was a catcher. And so that was Campanella was the big catcher in those days. So, but I know Tommy Lasorda very well, and my first roommate was Dick Williams, who is in charge of the senior baseball in Florida.
Oh.
And my last roommate was Sparky Anderson, the Detroit manager. So I still see a lot of the guys because I go to baseball meetings.
Yeah.
And I always, Harry Minor, I don't know if you know him, he went to Wilson. He's the number one, the super scout for the Mets. And so he always takes me to the annual Baseball Players Association meeting. There's about 1,000 to 1,200 ball players in November or December, and they hold it at the Grand Hotel. And you know, so we get to see a lot of old friends. You know, Dean Mock was there this past time. I played against him in 53 when he was his first year as a manager in Atlanta. And so I talked to him a little bit. It's just fun to see the old timers. And then I'm the Long Beach has a second guesser group. That's all ex-ball players, and we have a lot of young kids that are getting involved in it. And we meet once a month just to hash over things. And then in January we have a guest night. And Chuck Stevens is Secretary of the Baseball Players Association of America. So he is our secretary, so he does a lot of work for the needy, because that's the purpose of the organization. So we meet once a month, just to, we have a dinner, and used to play golf all the time, but sometimes we still have a little golf tournament, but the dinner dance and the golf kind of fell off, so we still have about close to 60 guys once a month from this area that meet and break over with all these big money ball players, you know, when we played for absolutely nothing compared to what they're getting now. So. I met my, well, when I was in Pueblo, Colorado in 1949, I met my wife at the Canton restaurant. That's where we used to eat. Tommy Wong was a little Chinese man. He owned this restaurant. And if we, he would let us charge, because we got paid the 1st and 15th of the month. So he would let us sign tickets, and then when we get paid, we'd come down and pay him. So that's where most of the ball players, if we ran short, we'd just sign the tickets. So that's, my wife had gone to, was at DU. So when she came back to Pueblo, then I met her there. But they were all going to go out to the Stardust Dance, and so I said, I don't feel like going. So she went with my roommate, Vic Marasco. He is from Los Angeles. So then a couple of nights later, then I had a date with her, and then we just kind of clicked it off. We met then, and then we were married a year later when I was at Mobile. We came, after the season was over, we came to Pueblo, married September 20th, 1950. God, that's a long time. And we have four kids, three are married, one grandchild. Should be 8 years old this month, so. But then my wife, she was going to finish her education, but she went back for about another semester, and then I think we got busy. Then I was in the service, and so then she moved, while I was in the service, and she went back to her parents and Pueblo, Colorado. And she worked at the old Petrolane company when it was real small. Huh? She was, well, Mr. Foote was the president then. And so she thought, if I'd have stayed with that company, look what they grew to.
Anyway, after Pueblo, and you decided to come back to Signal Hill, uh-huh.
Well, we would play whoever you, what team you play with. You live there during the summer, and then you always have a winter home. So my home was in Signal Hill. So even after I got out of the service and then quit baseball in 54, I still lived in Signal Hill until 1955 or 56. Then we moved to Los Altos, and then they were building another phase in Rossmore where I live now. So I had my GI Bill, so we went out and he says, okay, we'll buy the house and we'll live there for 3 or 4 or 5 years and sell it and make us some money. The next year it'll be 30 years. So we didn't like it there. But it was, now we're thinking about another move. We have a place at Canyon Lake. I don't know if you know where that's at. It's between Elsinore and Paris.
Yeah.
It's a private community. So we're going to supposedly lease our house, hopefully, sometime in February, and move out there for a year. That way, if we lease our house here, we won't be able to come back. And we're going to make up our minds if we like it there, and then that way we're going to sell one of the houses, possibly, you know. Because I haven't worked in almost 8 years. So my wife's trying to get me to go back to work, and she used to be in real estate. She had a heart attack 10 years ago, and so she has just done part-time things. So she wants to try it once more, so for 2 or 3 years, because we're both 60, so we'll be, after we reach 63 or so, then we'll back off again.
So anyway, you came back, and you went to work at Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And did your dad own?
Yes. And we were, the old region at Curly's was very small. Then there was another room west of it. So I talked my dad into moving the bar.
Okay.
Oh, I don't have any. I have other pictures at home, but I don't know where they're at. But it was in the old days. The oil workers were a rowdy bunch of fellows. We didn't have very few women come in the place because the men were big and boisterous, and the language wasn't as bad as it is in today's environment. But, you know, they used to swear, and those words weren't as bad as they seem today, but they still were bad, you know. And but they were loud, you know. They'd scare people to death, you know. And when I first went to work there, these guys used to give me a bad time. Hey, Junior, come over here. You know, they'd always pick on me. But they always respected me because if there was an argument, I was very good at being a peacemaker. And I could handle them pretty well. I only had to get tough with 3 guys in almost 34 years. I had to end up hitting 3 of them. But my dad wasn't that way. My dad had come over there, and if the guy looked at him crossways, my dad would, he'd take a poke right now. My dad was good, but boy, was he ornery. if he didn't like you, or he didn't like your answers, goodbye. He was a ornery devil. But everybody liked him and respected him, because he was the owner, and he'd worked in the oil fields, you know. So then, but we in those days, you'd get a lot of arguments. But it seems like that we could, in the daytime, I could always squelch him. You know, I'd run one guy, so you go back, or I'll take you home or something, you know. But at night, it was a different story, you know. They wouldn't be talking. They'd get into the hand-to-hand combat. So.
Do you think
most
of
the
people lived around here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, they were, and they'd come back the next day and shake hands, you know. But they were just, it seemed like that in the old days, that the people, they would get into arguments over politics, over sports, just anything. So I got the wise idea I bought